First Thessalonians chapter 1. You ought to come to church, ready to go to church. Amen. 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 It feels a little tight in here this morning. Somebody probably brought a bad spirit in, a critical spirit, judgmental spirit, a sinful spirit. So I'm going to ask Tim and Claire to pray, and I'm going to try to preach to you. Amen. Amen.
Dear Lord, thank you so much, Lord, for letting us be in your house this morning. Lord, I thank you for saving me, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity that we have to hear your word preached, Lord. I pray that you put your hand on Pastor Matt as he preaches. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you take any evil spirits, Lord, out of this place, Lord, that we could listen to your word preached, Lord, and that you'd speak to our hearts, Lord. Help us, Lord, to have open hearts. Lord, I pray if there's one in here that's not saved, Lord, that you convict them of sin, Lord, and that you'd save them here today. Pray, Lord, that you just bless the preaching of your word. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen. Amen. We'll be in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And it's been a couple Sunday mornings, but we've been studying here through 1 Thessalonians. We're going to start reading verse number 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, in verse number 5, the Bible says, "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance." And that is sure my desire and prayer this morning, that the word of God would go forth with power in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. It goes on and says, "As ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to God's word is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything." And I know it's been a little while since we were here in 1 Thessalonians, but the last thing we were looking at was some of the evidences of their salvation. If you look in Acts chapter 17, we're not going to go there, but that's a story when Paul goes to Thessalonica. He preaches, folks are saved, the church has started, and he's writing this letter back to them. And there's evidences or fruits of what happened in the lives of many of these folks that we know as the Thessalonians. And listen, if you ever get saved, there will be fruit in your life. There'll be evidences that you have become a child of God. Your life will never be the same. Your life will change. I didn't say your life would become perfect, but it will never be the same. And we should never get over the fact that God saved us from an eternity in hell, a life of sin, a hopeless life, saved us by His grace, set our feet upon the rock, put a new song in our mouth, and gave us a reason to live this life. And so they began, if in verse 3, he talked about their work of faith, their labor of love, and their patience of hope. And really what I'm going to look at here today is out of verse 6. The Bible says, "And ye became followers of us and of the Lord." One of the evidences that they got saved was who they began to follow. And look there in verse 6, it says, Paul is writing this. He's writing under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. And he's writing it also, if you look at verse 1, it's him and Silvanus, who we know as Silas, and Timotheus, or Timothy. He says, "Ye became followers of us." The us being Paul, and Silvanus and Timotheus, and of the Lord. Now, I understand, but I have had people say this, "I would never follow a man." That's interesting. Paul says, in proclaiming an evidence that they had gotten saved, he's talking about the change that came into their life. He said, "Ye became followers of us and of the Lord." You know, the truth is today, everybody is following somebody or something. Most people follow themselves. I mean, just talk to them for a while, and the logic, if that's what you want to call it, their rationale could only come from themselves. Somebody on Thursday night, a couple of the young ladies were witnessing, trying to witness to a guy, and he said this, "I don't have enough faith to believe in creation, so I believe in evolution." That doesn't make any sense. It takes more faith to believe in evolution than it does to believe the written, a record of creation.
Amen.
He didn't have enough faith to believe in God. He didn't believe in life after death. Listen, that takes a lot of faith. He said, where did he get that? He's following himself for what somebody else told him he should believe. But everybody's following somebody. You know, followers to follow. You know, many of our churches, and they have what are called leadership conferences. I've never heard of them having a follower conference. In fact, if you go into a bookstore, they sell bookstores, right? Like new bookstores, many times they have a section on books about leadership. You ever seen a section on books on following? Isn't that interesting? In fact, if you look in the Bible has more to say about following than it does leading. I was preparing this, and I was doing a little bit of research and looking around, and you know what I found on three or four different, Christian sources. I use the term Christian loosely, modern-day Christian sources. You know what they say? They say, it's much harder to follow than to lead. Well, you know, I've taught you, I've said different. It's way harder to lead than to follow. You know why following's easy, Burke Kiefer? You just do what you're told. Oh, but if you're rebellious, if you're full of self-sufficiency and self-will, I guess following would be hard to do. If you do not understand because of your deceitful heart and your immaturity, the great responsibility of leading. We're not playing follow the leader on the playground. When you lead, there's a great responsibility for every person that follows you.
Amen.
Then yes, you might say, it's so much harder to follow. But I believe it's much easier to follow than to lead. If you have trouble following, it's because of your heart, a lack of submission, and a lack of humility.
Amen.
In fact, really, followers only became popular with social media.
Yep.
Now it's all about how many followers you have. But really, the followers is only to boost your status and to boost your importance so you feel extra good about yourself because you have more followers. And because you're such a nobody, if you follow somebody who in your mind is a somebody, you now are somebody. So really, even the followers of social media is all about ego and pride and self. The world doesn't have a whole lot to say about following. But the Bible does. You know what Jesus said? He said, follow me. That's what he said.
Amen.
You know who he was at that point in time? I know he was God manifest in the flesh. But you understand that was the beginning of his ministry? You understand they did not have 3 years of miracles and teaching and preaching to look at. Here was a man. He was uncomely. There was nothing about him to draw you to him. And he simply said, follow me. He did not tell him, he did not give him his manifest or his constitution. He did not tell him of the next 3 years how it was going to go. He just said, follow me. You know what those disciples did? They left all. I'm talking businesses and families and homes and friends, and they followed him. And the Lord asked us today, or not ask, he says, follow me. We've got an entire Bible of proof of what he can do for us and has done. And we can hardly sometimes even barely follow him in the church, let alone leave all to follow God. Paul is telling these Thessalonians the proof, the evidence. One of them that they got saved was they became. This was something they were not doing. He said, you became followers of us. Who did they follow? Us. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy. They were men of God. Listen, they were men of God that were saved longer than they were. They knew more than they knew. They had the power of God on their life. They had something to teach and offer to these young Christians here in Thessalonica. In 1 Corinthians 4:16, Paul, writing to the Corinthians, said, "Wherefore I beseech you." You understand, beseech, it's like to beg. It's an urgent request. Do you understand that? "I beseech you, be ye followers of me." In Philippians, writing to the church at Philippi, Paul says, "Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an ensample." Boy, Paul seemed awful full of himself in that verse. He says, "Follow me and mark them as ye have us for an example." In other words, he's saying, those who don't follow our example, mark them. Stay away from them. People say, "I'd never follow a man." Paul told the church at Thessalonica, the church at Corinth, and the church at Philippi, he said, "Follow me." In 1 Corinthians 11:1, a second time, he says, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." Paul, in 2 Thessalonians, his second letter, verse chapter 3, verse 9, says, "Not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an ensample unto you to follow us." You know what Paul did? He lived in a way that others could follow him. He lived in a way so he could say, "Hey, you follow me as I follow Christ." And he was not living a life that he was ashamed of for others to follow. He lived as a good example for other Christians to follow him. He said in 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 7, "For yourselves know how ye ought to follow us. For we behave not ourselves disorderly among you." Not only, Paul said they should follow him. In other words, you're wrong if you're not. You say, "I'm not going to follow a man." Paul preached following a man. You know what some people have trouble doing? They have trouble following. Because see, when you follow, then your will doesn't really matter as much. It takes humility to follow. It takes submission to follow. Listen, it takes faith and trust to follow. There are some who have never learned to follow the people in their life, the men of God in their life, that God has put in their life. And you know what it does? It hinders them. You know what the Thessalonians were for following Paul? They were blessed. They were better off for it. Their life was enriched because they followed Paul. Now, I understand, we're going to get to the next point. It's as he followed the Lord. I know some of you are really just wanting to get there, but I'm just saying their lives were better for following Paul. He was a visible example that they could follow. Amen. You know, husbands and fathers, you know, really what we should say to our families is, "Follow me as I follow Christ." Amen. Parents, you should better say to your children, "Follow me as I follow Christ." And if you're going to be able to say that, we must live in a way that our life is the right kind of example that others can follow. Listen, when God allows you to be placed in a place of authority, in a home, or in a church, you know what you're saying? You're saying, "Hey, follow me as I follow Christ." But you know, there's some people, you don't want others following them. Are you somebody that others can follow? Have you lived a life that is worthy to be patterned after? They followed us, men of God like Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy. But also, they followed the Lord. And listen, just so we're clear on this. Number one, you follow the Lord.
Amen.
But the Lord has set up authorities that we are to submit to and we are to follow. Listen, wives, if you're not following your husband, you're not in submission to him. You can't be right with God. You can't be in fellowship with God. Listen, children, if you're not following your parents, and I'm not talking outwardly, just outwardly, then you're not right with God. Listen, church members, if you're not following the pastor, then you're not right with God. And look, I'm not preaching this message, you follow me. You follow whoever you want to follow. And you know what we'll know? Your life will tell who you follow.
Amen.
Some of you that have followed Pastor Keenan for years, you know what you can say? My life is better because I followed the man that God put me under as he followed Christ.
Amen.
I'm not talking about being a dictator. The Bible doesn't say a dictator.
Amen.
I'm saying you follow as they follow the Lord. So they followed the Lord. The Bible says in Ephesians 5:1, be therefore followers of God as dear children. I like what Elijah said in 1 Kings 18:21. He said, how long halt ye between two opinions? In other words, make up your mind.
Amen.
You ever been around anybody who couldn't make up their mind?
Yeah.
Right? I mean the hard choice, right? Do they get the Big Mac or the double cheeseburger? I mean, that's a hard choice. Just can't make up your mind, right? Do I get a Coke or do I get Sprite? Just pass on both of them. Be a lot better for you. Amen. Do I wear the red tie or do I wear the blue tie? Right? Just wear the one opposite of what your wife tells you.
Wow.
You say, why? Just test her. Just go ahead and come in church not matching one time. How long halt ye between two opinions? In other words, make up your mind.
Amen.
Go ahead, just choose. If the Lord be God, follow him.
Amen.
But if Baal, then follow him. I love how Elijah put that.
Yeah.
He didn't get down on his knees. He said, oh, would you please follow God?
No.
No, he said, look, if he's God, follow him. If Baal's God, follow him.
Amen.
You know what that did? That put the responsibility right back on the people. I mean, were they really going to be so foolish to him to say, yes, Baal's God, let's follow Baal. And if they followed God, and if down the road things came in their life that they didn't think were right, they couldn't go back to Elijah and said, you told me everything would be fine if I followed God. He said, no, I said, if God be God, follow him.
Amen.
We need to follow God.
Amen.
Look in 1 Peter chapter number 2. The Bible takes it even a step farther for us here in 1 Peter chapter 2. We're supposed to follow the Lord.
Amen.
They followed the Lord. First, and if you remember in the very beginning, and you study it, the church of Thessalonica was a good church. One of the reasons, because they followed God and followed those men of God. 1 Peter chapter 2, look in verse number 21. The Bible says, for even hereunto were ye called. Right? Everybody wants to be called for something. They want a calling, right?
Mm-hmm.
He said, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. So now we ought to follow the Lord, but he left us an example. He left us steps to follow. Everybody likes five easy steps, right? Three easy steps. 10 easy steps to, right, lose 50 pounds in 5 days. Three easy steps to have well-behaved children.
Wow.
It's not just three and it's not easy. Amen?
Amen?
5 steps to have a successful Christian life. Well, here's steps, right? What were the steps? Verse 22, who did no sin? How you doing on that? Are you following that step? How'd you do this week on that one? So I'm following Christ. Are you? Who did no sin? Neither was guile found in his mouth. You know, some of us, if we would just always be quiet, otherwise than somebody knowing something would be wrong because some of us were actually quiet, we might have a fighting chance in life. You know what many of us do? We open our mouth, man, and we get ourselves in trouble. Verse 23, who, when he was reviled, anybody here ever been reviled? Reviled not again. Well, that's a natural inclination we have when someone reviles us, right? We just want to revile not again.
Amen.
We just take it meekly. Man, we're just so thankful we can take a little bit of reviling.
Amen.
When he suffered, he threatened not. He didn't say, don't mess with me. Do you know who I am? No, when he suffered, he threatened not. But committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Who's him that judgeth righteously? God.
Amen.
You know what he did? He put it in the hands of God.
Amen.
He didn't try to work it all out himself to prove that he could. He put it in the hands of God. You know what we need to learn to do as we follow Christ is put it in the hands of God.
Amen.
Don't you get tired of trying to work it out on your own sometimes? Amen. And then he goes on, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. This is all continuing on here. I'm not saying we're supposed to hang on a tree, but have you ever taken wrong for someone else? The Lord did for us. Amen. So we're supposed to follow the steps of the Lord. He took our blame. He took our place of judgment. He did not seek vengeance. He was gracious. And then 1 Thessalonians 2, just one chapter over there, we go back to 1 Thessalonians 1, in chapter 2, verse number 14, he says, "For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus." See, they followed the examples of other churches. And these are churches in Judea. Now, in Judea, those churches would have been full of what kind of people? Jews. And the Thessalonians were Gentiles. See that? Boy, we're making progress here today. But even a Gentile church was following the example of the churches in Judea, which were Jews. But it wasn't so much the Jew or Gentile. It was those that were saved, part of a good church. Amen. Those other churches, I'm sure they probably learned how to give and how to teach, and in their practice and their separation, they followed other churches. In Hebrews 6, chapter 12, the Bible says, "Be followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises." And then in the following verses, he gives the example of Abraham. Well, Abraham's dead when the book of Hebrews is written. He's saying, follow them who have already been faithful and inherited the promises. In other words, those that live for God have died and gone on to heaven. Follow those. Those who have set a good example. The Bible says in 1 Peter 3, to follow that which is good. That's a good thing to follow. 1 Thessalonians 5:15 says, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and all men. 3 John verse 11 says, beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. What is good in the Bible? Well, I found 7 or 8 things. The Bible says this is good. It's good to wait on the Lord. It's good to praise the name of the Lord. It's good to sing praises unto our God. It's good to draw near to God. It's good to enjoy the good of our labor. In other words, enjoy the portion that God has given us. It's good that a man bear the yoke in his youth. It's good to not do anything that would cause a brother to stumble, if you can avoid it. Paul says, I would not eat meat if that would help cause a brother not to stumble. I don't know about you, but I do like meat. Anybody in here like meat? Amen. I like meat. But Paul says, I'm willing to give it up if I knew it would cause someone to stumble. Amen. Maybe Caleb doesn't like meat anymore. The Bible says this is a good one. It's good for a man not to touch a woman. Amen. That's good. Amen. The Bible says it's good to be zealously affected always in a good thing. I like that. What's better than being zealously affected in wrong things? What are you zealously affected by? What gets you excited? What do you have zeal about? The Bible says it's good to follow righteousness, and we ought to follow charity as well. Here in the text, he said they followed us and became followers of us and of the Lord. Who are we following today? Are we following the Lord? Are we following that which God would have us to follow? But you know, there's those that have trouble following. They do their own thing. They go their own way. They have their own opinions, their own mindsets, and they're not able to get, they call themselves free thinkers. I just call them rebellious. So who did they follow? They followed us, Paul, Sabinus, Timotheus, and they followed the Lord. How did they follow? Well, you know how you must follow? You must follow willingly. Amen. See, if you're getting drug along, you're not really following, are you? In Genesis chapter number 24, we can go back there real quick. Genesis chapter number 24, it's a story when Abraham sends his servant to find a wife for his son. Remember that? And in Genesis chapter 24, verse number 4, Abraham's given the orders to this servant, who I believe was Eliezer, and he says this, "But thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac." And the servant said unto him, "Peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land." You know what that was? That was a good question. I mean, he's going to a far away land to find a woman to bring back and marry someone sight unseen. I mean, think about that. I mean, we have some single young ladies in this church. I mean, if somebody showed up today from thousands of miles away and said, "Hey, my master's son is looking for a wife. He's got lots of money. Would you go?" I'm guessing some of you would be a little skeptical about going. So he asked a good question. He said, "What if she's not willing to follow me?" Abraham said, "Beware that thou bring not my son thither again." You know what the servant was concerned about is, was she willing? And you know, we won't go read the story, but in the end there, they asked her, "Wilt thou go?" And what'd she say? "I will go." In other words, "I will follow. I will go where he goes." You know how you follow? You follow willingly. See, in the Word of God, the Bible likens you and I, if we're saved, if you're saved, we're likened to sheep, right? You know the verses. I don't have to read them, right? John chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. John 10, verse 27. And you know what sheep have? Sheep have a shepherd. Moses is praying to the Lord in Numbers 27. And he says this, and he's asking the Lord to raise somebody up behind him to take care of the children of Israel. And he said this. He said, "Which may go out before them, and which may go in before them, and which may lead them out, and which may bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord be not as sheep which have no shepherd." So we are sheep. You and I are sheep. And if you study the characteristics of sheep, they're not tremendous characteristics of sheep. They're not a very intelligent animal. Sheep, left to themselves, do not do very well. I didn't make that parallel. The Lord did. He's the one that calls us sheep. We're the sheep of His pasture. It's all through the Word of God. You know what sheep do? Sheep follow. Sheep need a shepherd. You know what a shepherd does? A shepherd leads. Now, there's some animals that you drive. You don't drive sheep. You lead sheep. And that's the parallel, the example that God gave to us Christians. Our great shepherd is the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what He says? He says, "Follow me." The Lord does not drive you. He does not make you live for Him. He does not force you to do His will. You know what He says? "Follow me," and He leads, and He has led. He leads you and leaves steps and examples for us to follow. He leads us a book with His perfect will in it. And He says, "Follow me." We as sheep, we either follow or we don't. He doesn't make us. Is that not true? Thank God that we have a shepherd. If you want a shepherd as a Christian, you have a shepherd. The sheep follow the shepherd, and the shepherd leads. And listen, in being led, there is protection in being led. Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 5 says this, "And they were scattered because there is no shepherd, and they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered." What's it mean, they became meat? The wild beasts came and ate the sheep because they did not have a shepherd. David, as a shepherd boy, rescued the lives of those lambs from the beast, the lion and the bear. Why? Because he was a shepherd, and that's what shepherds do. But you know what? Some, they don't want to be led. Some don't want to be led by God. Some want to call their own shots in their life. Some want to determine their own direction. Some want to do their own way of living and thinking and acting. Some do not want God to lead them. And so God's given every one of us a free will, a free choice. If we don't want to follow, we don't have to follow. You ever play follow the leader as a kid, right? And usually if there's enough kids there, somebody's going to say, "That's dumb, I'm not following." Right? Maybe you were that kid. You know what some say about the Lord? "That's dumb, I'm not following." The Bible, God, all he commands, the way he expects me to act and live and think and do. So I'm not following. And you know what God says? You don't have to. Sheep do not have to follow. Now, listen, there is consequences to not following. And it might, they may come quite a bit later, but there's consequences. And it's the same way in the church. Listen, the pastor, the under-shepherd of the church, you know what he's supposed to do is lead. You know what the sheep do? They have a choice to either follow or not follow. Listen, my job is not to make you to do anything. My goodness, if that was my job, I might as well go there and bang my head on that wall repeatedly day after day, right? It's hard enough to get myself to do stuff sometimes. You know, my job is to lead. You either follow, you don't follow. It's your choice. Is that not what the Word of God teaches? Now listen, I'm to follow. I'm to follow the Lord. I'm to set a good example. I'm not perfect. I've never claimed and never will claim to be perfect. But in the church, as far as the direction of the church, I'm supposed to lead and you're to follow. And if you can't follow, and Dad's always said this, I agree, you ought to find a shepherd that you can follow. Some have trouble following. There's some that follow. You know what God does? He blesses them. He protects them in their own ignorance sometimes. Amen. Then there's some that won't follow, and they seem to always be hitting their head here and smashing a shin here and getting lost here and wondering why they got all these issues. It's because they won't follow, just like when we don't follow God. You're saying, you really believe I should follow a man as he follows the Lord? It's just all through the Bible. You can't get away from that. And when we get, you say, did you practice that? Listen, I did practice it. Amen. I'm not preaching anything I haven't done. You know, I was 45 when I became pastor. That means for 45 years. I don't know if you count those first few years. Do you count those? 45 years sure sounds like a good number, doesn't it? Unless it's talking about age, and it's not a good number. I followed. It was my choice. And when I followed God's man, as he followed God, you know what my life was? It was blessed. Amen. It was enriched. God, man, did wonderful things. He kept me out of a lot of trouble.
Amen.
But some are stubborn. They're stiff-necked. They're not submitted. And listen, it is a travesty. But you know what? They're not the first one I've seen like that. It's not the first person I've seen refusing to get in line, refusing to submit, refusing to follow if they don't understand every in and out, the beginning and the end. Do you understand there's many times as a leader, you don't know the end. How are you going to tell others the end? You don't know.
Amen.
Can you imagine Abraham telling his wife, hey, follow me. Where are we going, Abraham? I don't know, just follow me. So that's ridiculous. Well, that's what his wife had to do.
Amen.
Sometimes, has God not told you, follow me? And you say, hey, Lord, what's going on? Just follow. Has he ever told you that? Just follow.
Amen.
That's hard to do. I want to know the mileposts. I want to know the destinations. I want to know the timeline. He says, just follow me.
Amen.
So sometimes, leaders, husbands, you know everything that's coming down. You don't know. You say, hey, wife, kids, follow me. Where are we going? Well, you don't know. Let's just go. Sometimes you follow, sometimes you lead, and you don't even know what the end is or what's going to happen along the way.
Amen.
So we need to follow willingly. There's protection in that. And then let me say this in closing. You need to be careful who you follow.
Amen.
In 1 Samuel 17, we read about a man named Absalom. You know what he did? He got a lot of people to follow him.
Yep,
man. Was Absalom a good man or a bad man? He was bad through and through. But he appeared what? In good. And he deceived the hearts of many.
Yes,
and the Bible says this. Well, the Bible tells us there how there was a slaughter among the people that followed Absalom. What happened because they followed Absalom? Trouble. They followed the wrong one.
Amen.
Instead of God's choice. Absalom looked the part. He played the part. He knew how to speak. He knew how to play on emotions. Now, I would normally say, now women, you need to be careful here. But in the day and age we live in, I'll just say, people, you need to be careful here.
Amen.
It used to be, and this is not a bad thing. I believe this is part of how God made male and female, that the females were the ones that were more emotional. And the man operated more on, you know, rationale. Common sense, I'd like to think. But now you got men emotional. Now, I understand emotions. God gave us all emotions. But, man, we're not supposed to act emotional.
Amen.
And really, women, we're not supposed to act emotional. I knew that was going to go over real well. So that's why I highlighted it right here. But he played on their emotions. He spoke smooth words. Well, you could speak smooth words and tell somebody terrible advice. Remember, he kissed them as they came. I have to say this. In the teen boys' teen class today, I asked a question. It was something about the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. So that's the context. And the answer was kisses. Oh, boy, it was so hard. They did not want to answer that. They're like, it was like pain on their face. Looked like I had five constipated teen boys sitting there. Because the answer was kisses. It's just so hard to say that word. But one day it won't be so hard. Amen. Where did that come from? Oh, yes, he kissed them. And boy, it just stirred their emotion. It said, oh, he must be a great leader. And he wasn't. He was a rebel.
Amen.
God, be careful you follow. The Bible says, thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. Listen, the majority is usually wrong. The Bible says, there's those that follow the way of Balaam. What did Balaam do? He loved money and he loved gain. He compromised for money. Can you believe somebody compromising for money? People have. They miss church for a job. Why do they have that job? For the love of it? No, because it pays them. They will give in for money. The madness of Balaam. It talks about the madness. Madness is a state of disordered reason or intellect. Some follow their own heart and mind. He tells the Thessalonians, he says, you became followers of us and the Lord. You know what the Lord says? He says, follow me. Follow me. He's not going to make you. You can live your life your way. He says, follow me. The end of that says, and I will make you fishers of men. Now, I understand we can preach about that. I'm closing here. In other words, he'll make you exactly what he wants you to be if you follow him. And then he puts you in a local church. You know what he tells you to do? Follow the shepherd. It's your choice, though. You don't have to. There's no seatbelts in the seat. Nobody signed an agreement here that you would do this and not do that, though maybe that might not be a bad idea sometimes. But you know what you do is you follow the lead, the leaders, as they follow Christ. In the home, wives and children, you follow the leaders in the home. You know what there is? There's blessing in following. There's protection in following. You go out there in the world and you live a life not following the Lord, not following spiritual leaders in your life. You're like a sheep without a shepherd in a dangerous wilderness. You will be destroyed sooner or later. Amen. Let's pray. Let's pray here this morning, heads bowed and eyes closed, and have a time of invitation. If the Lord spoke to your heart, the altar's open. You can come. You can pray.